You are listening to Salty Believer Unscripted, a conversation on Christian ministry and the Christian life.
This is Salty Believer Unscripted. I'm Josiah Walker.
I'm Brian Catherman.
And on today's episode, we're continuing our study in What is the Bible?
And continuing in the Salt Lake studio.
So Look at us.
We don't want anybody to think that this is the Wizard of Oz wizard where we're pulling levers. We're just going to pull the curtain back. We are recording a few in advance of when they're going to release. All at the same time because we're in the same space in Salt Lake.
I mean, I'd love it if you were here for 3 weeks, but...
You could come out and see me for 3 weeks and we could...
But we've talked about the Old Testament, we've talked about the silent years, and today I want to talk about the New Testament. We talked about how in Deuteronomy, God gave Moses the law, and in Deuteronomy 4, God tells Moses, don't add anything to the things I'm telling you. And now here we are in the New Testament, and we're adding stuff.
Wait, how did we get to... We even added stuff in the Old Testament to Deuteronomy. Right. So what's the context? Okay, don't take... So in Deuteronomy, don't take this stuff and make it your own. Don't proof text it. Don't use this to manipulate.
Right.
But, okay, let's just... Since you opened that can, we also have that being said in
Revelation,
Habakkuk, Revelation. Like, what do we do with... Don't add anything to these books. Well, Revelation, I think, was the book of Revelation, but I think also this whole canon.
Sure.
I'm trying to think of how Habakkuk says that. Do you remember off the top of your head?
I don't off the top of my head. This is where we need our intern with us.
No, it's not in Habakkuk. Okay, I don't even know. We need our intern. It's not even in Habakkuk. I'm just like... I'm trying to think. I'm just shooting from the hip. Let's just go to Revelation. Revelation says, don't add anything to this book. Does that mean the whole Bible? Does that mean the New Testament? I think in immediate context, it's the book of Revelation.
Yeah.
But the concept is still the same. Deuteronomy. Hey, write down these words. Speak for the Lord. Now we have guys adding New Testament books.
Right.
And they're doing something very different. They are not saying, thus saith the Lord.
That's a good point.
So wait a minute. You even have Paul... Again, let's just, I don't know where we're going. I'm shooting here.
You put the un in unscripted for sure.
I'm putting the un in unscripted. Paul says at one point, where is this? Where he says, not I, but the Lord. And he gives some instruction, the Lord, but not I. And what he's talking about is I'm quoting from the Old Testament.
Right.
But now I'm speaking inspired by God and I'm saying these things. So he's not saying like, this is just my opinion. But he's saying, look, I'm quoting from then and I'm quoting from now, because other times I think they believe they knew they were writing scripture.
Sure, absolutely.
Peter, 2 Peter is like, hey, this is God's word. Yeah. We're speaking scripture. Paul's word is scripture. It's complicated, but it's scripture. You know, it's just getting handled like that.
Peter affirms the things that Paul's writing, and Paul knows the things he's writing are going to be read to the entire church.
Right.
So they know that their work is important.
Go ahead.
I was going to try to bring it around to Luke. You know, he's taking his record in both his first account in the Gospel of Luke and his second account in Acts. He's looking to get all the information right, to get everything as accurate as possible, because he knows we're going to look at this. You know?
He knows he's writing some kind of a book for a purpose.
Right.
And Hebrews chapter 1, you know, long ago and you know, back in the day, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, so Christ, whom he appointed the heir of all things, and through him, you know, here's God, God speaking through Christ. Now Christ is dwelling in us. Now the power of the Holy Spirit is speaking, which we need to bring that into play in the New Testament. So you have these books being added because they're intended to be added by God, and it's still God's word, not man's word, that is really being added, although God is using men as the instruments by which these books are written. Is that fair?
It.
Okay.
This is great.
Let's try to figure out, how do we get to this? And with the Holy Spirit bringing us along.
Right.
I mean, help me here. We did a podcast a while back with the Holy Spirit talking in the Old Testament. Now we got the Holy Spirit talking in the New Testament. You know, John saying, when the Spirit comes, he will be a helper, and he will guide you in all truth. He's not going to speak by his own authority, but just like the Father who sent Jesus, the Holy Spirit is being sent, he's commissioned, he's speaking under the authority of the triune God. Well, what does that mean? That means is he's bringing along men who's writing this thing. It's truth, brought along by the authority of God. And then in Acts where... Is it Ananias and Sapphira lie?
Yeah.
And
he says, holds some back.
You lied to us, you lied to God, you lied to the Holy Spirit. Like, okay, this is crazy. What we're seeing is by God's means, through the Holy Spirit, through his instruments, the apostles, now not prophets, these books are being written. And sometimes God is still saying, write down what you see. That's revelation. Write this vision down. Sometimes there's a vision, and it gets written down like Peter going, and I saw a vision, and there was this big sheet with all the animals in it, and God said this, and God said that. That's kind of similar to the Old Testament.
Yeah.
But sometimes there's letters written to the churches where one of the apostles is writing saying, this is what you do. This is the authority of the Lord. And and yet it's Scripture, dual-authored and authoritative from God. Right?
That's exciting. I mean, the New Testament is exciting. You see the Lord encountering Paul, then Saul, and on the way. And then, and then the Holy Spirit talks to the guy that Paul goes to meet with and says, hey, Paul's coming your way. I just blinded him.
Right.
So, but then you see God speaking through the prophets and speaking through revelation and dreams and visions. And I mean, anyone who says this book is boring has obviously not read it.
No, it is definitely not a boring book. New Testament and Old.
Right.
The New Testament playing up on the Old Testament as if it knows this is
quoting
a
continuation. The Old Testament.
This is a fulfillment
affirming
of the things that were promised. It's going to repeat in the same patterns and on and on and on. Right. So, we've got to approach the New Testament in conjunction with the Old Testament as Scripture, which the Church Fathers did.
Right.
Right. You mentioned that, I think, in the one when we talked about the Old Testament. They're only a generation or the next generation literally quoting this stuff as if it's from God.
Right.
Speaking about it as if it's from God. Understanding that it has some sense of inerrancy and authority. We'll talk about those things. And so how do we know we have the right books in the New Testament? Right? That's a tricky thing. Okay?
Can we talk about order too? I mean, because the New Testament opens in the Protestant Bible with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Right, and the recordings
of Christ and his earthly ministry. Is that necessarily, is Matthew the beginning?
So
why is Matthew the first book in the New Testament?
Those were not the first books written. Some of the very first things written were most likely some of the letters that were sent to the churches. And then somewhere we come along and they start writing down. Luke starts making
Luke was written after, right?
And by the way, Luke was not an apostle.
No.
So we're going to have to deal with that in a minute. But these guys are told, you're going to be my witnesses in the world. The things they're writing down are the things that God had instructed them, taught them, led them, and then were continuing to do so through the power of the Holy Spirit. But they start with like writing some letters, and there's some debate, but it could be that James might have been the first letter that was written to the churches. From James, it could have been. I'm trying to think of some of the other earlier letters, and then like Luke is going along with Peter for a season. Mark is going along with Peter. Luke is going along with Paul in the Book of Acts, and the Book of Acts, you guys, those we passages where then we went here and we went there. So he's connecting with them. But chances are good if that's the case, as he's writing these we passages, and not that they're little, but that they're together. A wee little passage.
Nice.
At that point in time, Paul's writing letters to the churches that became Scripture. So we don't have Acts out yet.
Right. Can we talk about...
Yeah.
Luke is writing his stuff while Paul's writing his stuff.
Exactly.
They're both writing.
God is working to get his story of redemptive history and how God's promises, even to Abraham, are now being completely and culminated and fulfilled. And this whole thing is coming together.
Yes.
Right, and so we're. It had to have been a chaotic time back then, right?
Unlike this podcast, which is always very organized.
Oh yeah, this podcast is really organized. So okay, let's deal with this in two ways. First, what do we do with? So the apostles, we could make the argument that the apostles were commissioned to be God's witness. How do we think about these guys who aren't apostles? I mean, what do you do?
Sure.
What do you do with that? How do we handle that? I mean, because we have Luke, we have Mark, and is that it? I'm thinking about who. Yeah,
well,
just
Jude.
Luke and Mark. Jude. Sorry. What'd you say? I put the on in unscripted? Yeah, so what do we do with that?
Right.
Well, different people have handled that in different ways. Some have said, well, they're hearing from the apostles. God is using them in certain apostolic type ways.
Right.
And then here's what's interesting. They didn't get rejected by the early church fathers.
Sure.
They started to be included in these lists of of canon, which we probably need to talk about the list and how that came about. But so you have apostles writing, you have those working with the apostles that are writing.
Right.
And then there's this other thing, and this is the part that I think is probably the most helpful to remember. Oh, in Hebrews. Sorry, just popping into my head, right? Hebrews may or may not have been written by an apostle. It doesn't seem like it's written by Paul when you read it.
Right.
But who knows? We might not ever know. But here's the thing. There's some power of the Holy Spirit to attest to God's people that when they hear these letters, they know that they're hearing from the Lord. It's as if they're recognizing this is from God. It's attesting to the truth of what I'm reading. And I'm not saying there's some automatic test, not some burning in the bosom, not some whatever, but just this is of God.
Right.
God is speaking to me. And
you
that's
just see
gift.
His handiwork and the Holy Spirit's work in all of this.
I've read the Old Testament. I've read the New Testament. I see that God is in this, and I'm going to trust it, and I'm going to have confidence in it. So what happened was, these letters and books, you know, the book, the gospel books of Luke and the gospel books of Matthew, they start getting passed around or disseminated around.
Right.
And so the church starts talking about, well, which letters do you have? Which letters does this church have? And most of what we end up with when we make lines in the sand is there might be some heresy. So somebody says, oh, I'm teaching from such and such book.
Right.
Ooh, we don't think that book is affirmed by God. And so what happened was churches started putting together lists and groups started putting together lists of these are who we have in the canon.
And that was kind of the issue with Jude, is I guess at some point he quotes Enoch in his letter.
Oh, yeah, but they're like, that's not in the, we don't have that in the canon. What's he doing? Yeah.
Right. But because he was James's brother, you know,
and he's not the only one that quoted things we don't have. How many times have you read
or his connection with James, but.
How many times have you read things like in the Old Testament and the events of the king were written in such and such book
sure.
that we don't have.
Right.
Okay, well, no worries. He's mentioned just because there's a mentioning of other books
sure.
or even quotes. Paul quotes from a tomb that says it's a dedication to the unknown God. He quoted that.
Right.
Right? Yeah. That doesn't mean just because he's quoting that, that that is somehow authoritative scripture. Numerous accounts quote the things that the Persian king said and the things that these right. people said. And that doesn't mean that because you're quoting it, it's authoritative scripture from God. You're quoting it to make a purpose.
Right. He's putting things into context. He's talking right. about events that are happening. So,
okay. So all these churches have these lists. They start comparing and contrasting. And lo and behold, they're coming up with the same lists. These independently organized groups of Christians are finding that as they're getting letters and they're getting disseminated, that they're coming up with the same list that they're adding in their list with the Old Testament. Here's all the scrolls, here's because they weren't all bound in one book. We're going to have some of the lists, and future time goes on. Pretty soon they're like, wait a second. We're starting to see this list is getting more firmed up. We're agreeing. And it's now some 300 years later at the Council of Nicaea when they say, look, we've all agreed on this list, but these guys over here want to add one book,
right.
or this person. Well, no, none of us agree with that. So really what they're doing is they're affirming what God already revealed to them and showed them and brought them along in. And so it's not like they were choosing. That's the big misconception. Well, who wants to vote that this one's in? Yes, no. No, just like the Apocrypha. No,
right.
we just don't affirm that it's in. And the group was finally putting their line in the sand.
Right.
This is how it is. But it had already been long, long established by the
sure. By practice,
the management of the Holy Spirit, the recognizing who these people were. And we need to remember that the early church knew these apostles. They knew
yeah.
these people.
So no,
if it was
I mean,
a big
you're a generation or two removed.
You would know if it was a big scam
right.
or not. Does that mean that it's perfect? No, it doesn't. It means that each individual believer is going to have to read and let the Holy Spirit reveal for himself and learn to trust. Because there's many people that don't trust this, that this book is what it says it is.
Right.
And there are those who do. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has shaped their mind, opened their ears, regenerated their heart.
Illuminating the text.
The whole bit.
Yeah.
It's a miracle of God.
So, with that being said, when we're talking about them kind of affirming those books at the Council of Nicaea and that, should we expect today that more books might be added as maybe we discover other things or look at the Apocrypha some more?
I don't expect that. Some people think that the canon is open. It's called open theism, open canon.
Is that a pretty popular belief? No, I've never heard of that.
No, no, no. But it is out there. But the Mormons have added to the canon.
Sure.
Right? Oh, we have some more books. We're going to... Yeah. These are another testament they hold. Right. Well, no. No. This thing was... This is the witness that we had, the witness right. that we needed, that God said, this is what we're going to build faith and practice yeah. and life on. And the reason that we had it from the apostles, just like we had thus saith the Lord, they were like... The prophets, they didn't say thus saith the Lord, right. but we didn't see prophets in the New Testament. We saw apostles, and just like the prophets have come to an end, the apostles have come to an end, yeah. and the canon has been closed. Now the message is out there.
So do you think the people living kind of in Malachi's time and that before John the Baptist felt like the Old Testament canon was closed?
Oh,
that
yeah.
That was
done? 400 years.
You know?
400 years, like there's not a prophet in the land. Right. It seems like this is done. It seems like it's closed. And then when a prophet shows up, John the Baptist...
Right.
It's not, hey, we need to write these scrolls and add them to these old covenant testament. No. The Jewish people didn't do that.
Right.
The new believers in Christ saw
the connection.
These pieces, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, the Old Testament was closed for well-established. Right. The New Testament closed yeah. and well-established.
Which
and
we saw we 400 years after Christ at the Council of Nicaea, you know, 367 yeah. or whatever, where yeah. they're saying, hey, we're done. Tie a ribbon on
good.
It. So
and it just took a little time for them to confirm and work it out.
Yeah.
But it had been done. The very next generation, as these things were getting written, it seemed like those lists were really coming together tightly.
So we'll probably talk about this in another episode when we talk about translations and things. So really the only changes that we'd see from this point on would be transitional changes as we get more manuscripts or find, maybe this word's not right, it should be this word. Just small little nuances.
Usually in the transmission yeah. of the word. You know, we'll talk, maybe it's not like some telephone game, and we'll talk about why.
Yeah.
We'll talk about how archaeology, God has used amazing, just guys giving and women giving their lives to studying archaeology, discovering manuscripts, going, oh, now that we have these manuscripts, we can affirm this and we can affirm that. And what we see is God is superintending, managing his word to us still today.
Yeah.
Getting this thing right and making sure we're really dialed in, which in that podcast we talk about, you know, some of the things that maybe don't belong in the Bible.
Sure.
And over time, how'd that yeah. get in here?
Extra endings out? To Mark.
Yeah, I was going to say
things
Mark.
Like that.
The one everybody loves in John.
Sure.
But we have what we need for faith and practice to come
Absolutely.
To salvation, to know Christ,
yeah.
to delight in and enjoy God, and live for him. We've got everything he intended for us to have because he has protected it and shepherded it and brought it to bear that we have it today. But the people who are, you know, Malachi wrote his book and they had Malachi and they're in those 400 years, they didn't have anything more, right. but they still had enough
right.
for faith and practice. It was that dimly lit room that more light shines in, right?
And same with the New Testament church, as they have the Old Testament that they're reading, but they also are getting some letters from Paul
yep.
and things like that. I think what I love the most in these last two episodes is just talking about how these letters and these books of the Bible fit together, and how Genesis wasn't necessarily the first thing written, and
right.
how Matthew wasn't the first thing written, you know?
But they're just bound together in a book, right?
I just don't think we ever think about that when we approach the Bible. We want to read it just like we would read some storybook or novel or, you know?
Well, okay, let's dial this in and get really raw here. When you've got your first Bible, how old are you when you got your first Bible?
Probably 5.
Okay, because you grew up in a Christian home.
I did, yeah.
So you're 5. Was it a children's Bible?
It was probably like a storybook Bible.
Okay, so I mean like a Bible Bible.
Like I mean probably like elementary school, right? Like third grade maybe.
Was it the ESV? What did you just break in our studio?
Well, you know.
You just broke your chair.
We'll skip lunch this time. But yeah, I mean, the first Bibles I got were picture Bibles, and then, you know.
Okay, so you have like, was it the NIV maybe? NIV
yeah, the NIV 84.
King James,
yeah.
What'd you have?
No, it was an NIV 84.
So as a kid, did anybody sit down and tell you, this is how this is organized, this is what it looks like? Did you know?
No. No, I remember as a kid when I would see stuff that said, like, and this pillar stayed till this day, I thought they meant today.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
I'm looking around for those pillars today.
Because you weren't thinking about...
I wasn't thinking about the context of when that was written.
So my point is, like, nobody really sat down and started explaining it. So then you grow up, and what are you thinking as you grow up? At what point did you realize maybe Matthew wasn't the first book written?
And growing up in Utah, where a lot of the things here are named after things in the Bible, I was
is
that the Jordan River that Jesus was baptized
in? Wait, Moab is down there in southern Utah?
I was so confused. Nobody really explained that stuff.
So I think what happens is, you know, our listeners are probably going along and they're reading, And they're going, oh, maybe this doesn't fit the way I grew up with it. Maybe I need to think about this a little more. And so the idea here is we just need to keep learning and keep working at it. I'm still, you know, processing, okay, this is how the Hebrew canon went. I just recently put it together that, wow, you know, Second Chronicles ends a lot. Matthew seems to parallel how the book of Chronicles was written, First and Second Chronicles, with genealogies and commissions, and here's what God has done, and here's what he's doing. And we need to be people who spend a life working at this.
Yeah, always be learning.
Yeah.
I mean, it's inexhaustible. And what I love is there's so many resources at our fingertips. You can read the Bible. You can listen to the Bible, which I'll be doing later as I'm exercising after breaking the chair, getting my steps in. You can take it with you in the car.
I wish this was a video podcast right now.
There's a reason it's not. So there's just, I think, even at 100 years old or, you know, 1,000 years old, there's always going to be stuff that we're learning until Christ returns about him and his word.
Well, and even after. Yeah. This stuff is inexhaustible. Yeah. We're going to be spending time with God in eternity, still learning about him.
Absolutely.
Still learning about his word. Still, I mean, that... so fantastic.
So with that in mind, if you have questions, maybe you have a good line on a piece of solid furniture, or you have questions about the Bible as we're going through this study, drop us a line at saltybeliever@gmail.com. But as we leave, I just want to leave with this word from John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. Salty Believer Unscripted is a production of saltybeliever.com. Visit the website to find more resources, like the podcast you've just listened to.